Good morning. My talk today is about demanding excellence. I know some of my talks probably go about the same course, but kind of something that I've been thinking about for a while, wanting to give another talk regarding our work for the church. Which demanding excellence means that we need to push to be better and to give more. One of the workout videos that I use, the way it puts it, give me your best and then a little bit more. Are too many of us content with occupying air and a space on the pew? Do we even open our Bible a lot of times when there's a reading or when somebody's getting a lesson? I'm trying to get better on that personally. I know as a teenager I never did. Hardly ever did. Do we sit or stand there during a song and not sing? Or sing without thinking of the words? Who are we trying to be pleasing to? Are we trying to be entertained and coming up short? This is for God. I've been coming to this church congregation now for 41 years. I've seen many great role models that are now gone and passed away. Who steps up in their place? If every member of the church here were just like you, a clone Christian army of you, how would we be doing? Would services be an hour or two once a week? Would we struggle to have anyone active? Who would organize things? Maybe your versatility is limited in what you can do coming forward and taking part in the service. But is your heart where it should be? What do you contribute to the body of Christ? It used to be that the appendix of a person was removed if a person had surgery, and the doctor would remove it if he was anywhere close to it, as they at that time could see no purpose in it and it might cause problems later. Are you that part of the church that nobody really sees a functional part of you in the church? How does the church become more functional? Would Christ come to our church seeing as his church, the Church of Christ, come to services and be disgusted with our lack of sincerity and respect? Would we be going to panic mode and trying to have an uptick in our intensity because we knew that Jesus was here? He's here every week. God sees it every week, every unprepared mind and every unprepared thought. Every time that we're hesitant about working at doing our duties that we're put on the program for, every complaint, he sees it all. God does not really stand much for laziness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 11 says, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were here with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some of you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. We are supposed to be an example, not just look for someone else to do the work. Also, if you go to Luke 9:57-62, and as they were walking along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me," but he said, "First let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said unto him, "No one that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." He wants us to join him and not look back. If you go to Mark 11, verses 12 and 14, it says, "On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing that in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard him say it." And also, later on, in verse 20-22, it says, "And they passed by in the morning, and they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered.' And Jesus answered unto him and said, 'Have faith in God.'" Christ tells us how we are to be. It is not easy, but he doesn't want us to be unfruitful. He wants to see us produce fruitful works. Romans 12, 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not do all the same functions, so we, through many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving the one who teaches it, in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Not every one of us can do everything or many things. God deserves our respect to do the best possible job, whatever we are asked to do. We ought to respect the opportunity that we've been given. The elders put out a program, and they put people on to do those things. They've decided that you're worthy of participation in the service. So we have an obligation to make sure that we are prepared in our minds and prepared in what we've written and the sermons that we give. We have an obligation to make sure we put our best foot forward and what we're presenting to the rest of the congregation, that it might produce fruitful thoughts for them for the rest of the week, and that they can see that we've put a good example forth as what we heard earlier in the verses that I had read earlier. Our Lord sent our Savior, Jesus Christ, to save us. We have things we can do to be fruitful. Every one of us do. Whether it's teaching a class, whether it's giving of monetary things to help the church, we all have things that we can do. My dad always taught me that no matter what job somebody asks you to do, give it your best possible effort. And your name is directly tied to what you do, whatever job that you do. Whether it's cleaning something or fixing something, your name is tied to that. So, in that, you need to examine your work and see if it is something that you want your name attached to. Are you pleased with your efforts? As many would attest to the young people coming up in the workforce, many just don't care. And they're satisfied with getting by with as little effort as possible. And many places have problems getting their employees to leave their cell phones alone while they're working. What should we do as Christians? What kind of things can we do? Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another in brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who do not curse them. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Be, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Some of these attributes may not sound like work, but I think we all know from experience they are very hard to do, all of these things. It takes effort to master these things. Especially looking at the last part, where we are to do good to our enemies, that we might convert them by way of our actions, and that they might have coals of fire heaped on their head, that they might really start to think of what we're doing, what kind of example that we're setting for them. Are we yielding fruit? Many of us have children, so in that sense, yes, we're yielding fruit. Is the fruit staying on the tree? I'm seeing more fall off the tree than hold on. And I've had that happen in my own family as well. How are we doing an outreach if we can't even hold on to our own fruit? I've heard it said once, I don't know who, but I've heard secondhand that it was said, someone regarding outreach in our congregation, and their reply was, we don't really do that. That's kind of a family thing. Well, if that's our portrayal that we are giving forth, then shame on us. What should we do about it? What should we be doing? Luke 19. Verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And they that saw it all grumbled, he has gone in to the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come into this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Also, we have another example. Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but the sinners. To me, this means that it is not just a family thing. We have at least two congregations that I know of in Iowa that are on the edge of being no more. There's no young people. And it's sad. Is it because we treat the church as a family thing? It's not our birthright either. There has been a big surge lately. Some of you may have noticed through social media in the Kirksville, Missouri congregation lately. And I have reached out to one of their members for more information on what they've been doing. How they've had 20 plus baptisms in a month. Praise the Lord for that. And he gave me quite a bit of information. There's a website called wecaretoday.org to start off with, and he told me some of the things that they've done were to go throughout the community. They've had other people from other places come in and help them with this, and they asked if anybody in the community needed food or prayers, and telling them that they were Christians, trying to get their word out of the building and into the community. Then they followed up on those leads and provided the needed services to those mentioned, and tell them they were not only concerned regarding their physical needs but also their spiritual needs as well. Then asked them if the Lord was come today, would they go? Would they know without a doubt that they were going to be in heaven? And then opening the door for a Bible study after that. Now, the messages that I've gotten were a lot more detailed, and if you want to go in, if there are people that are interested in finding out how we can do that as I am, then you can talk to me about it, and maybe we can figure out a way to get something started. But I think it's a good idea. I think that we need to consider that this is not just a family thing, and we should be spreading this and getting it out to other people, and not just waiting for somebody else to do it. Be something, somebody that can take on something and expand what we've got. Make this grow. And maybe there'll be more, if we make it grow enough, maybe there will be a reason to have more churches, an expansion in the church, which would be a blessing. Luke 3, verses 8 through 9, it says, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father,' for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Colossians 3, verses 23 through 24, it says, "And whosoever ye do it, whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." No matter what we do, we should do it with all our hearts. Titus 2, 7 through 8. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." We should be able to have a good reputation in the community. When we leave this building, we need to be setting the example. And our names are tied to the church being Christians. And we need people to know that we are Christians by our life. And not just go out and live our life and nobody realize that we're Christians. We need to be expanding on what we have. And who has it? Are we demanding excellence of ourselves? If not, we should. If you have not demanded an effort in yourself, and you need to realize that you need to start demanding that effort and demanding more of yourself, do it and start today. Start studying more. Start trying to make this grow, your faith grow, and spread, make it spread. If you have not accepted Christ into your life, make it known and make him a part of your life while you still got an opportunity. You still have breath in you, and you have to realize that this is the truth. That we need to serve God, and the only way to serve God is to be baptized and become a part of his church. You have that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.